We begin the season of Advent today. We begin a new church year. With Advent, we start to tell our story as a community of faith from the beginning, but also from the end. There are very few stories that we tell both from the beginning and the end at the same time, but that is what we try to do in Advent. And we do it not just to tell the story, but so that we can also live it. Advent means, as many of you know, the arrival or the coming. In these weeks leading to Christmas, we would expect that this arrival for which we wait is that of the baby Jesus. God coming to us in human form, vulnerable, trusting. Trusting that we will take care of such a tremendous gift. Each year we are thankful to celebrate Christmas, our yearly remembrance that to the lost and the least, to the wise and the powerful, to all the world, Christ was born in time and place. Each year we are given these precious weeks of Advent to center ourselves and prepare to celebrate the birth that saved us, brought us together, and inspires us to be people of hope in a world that is often difficult, harsh, unforgiving, and unjust. We are given these weeks in Advent to prepare a place for Christ to be born in us. Our faith is born in hope, surrounded by light, and it shrinks not from the realities of life which inspired our collect, our prayer for today, which begins, Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility. Certainly one of the works of darkness that we desire to cast away from our hearts and from our nation and from the world is the dark work of racism. With the recent developments in Ferguson, Missouri, we are once again faced with the tragic reality that racism is so deeply embedded in our culture. And we did not need Ferguson to tell us this. But as the story has developed in this last week, the darkness looms large. Our presiding bishop, Catherine Jefford Shorey, issued a statement on Tuesday, November 25th. She writes, and we join with her in saying, the Episcopal Church joins with many others in deep lament over the tragic reality that continues to be revealed in Ferguson, Missouri. The racism in this nation is part of our foundation. It is not unique to one city or state or part of the country. Our presiding bishop names the darkness and she offers hope as she continues, Michael Brown's death was and is a tragedy and has become a powerful witness to those divisions between human beings in this nation. His death also carries the potential to become a sacramental offering if it continues to challenge us to address our divisions and the injustices in this nation that are far more than skin deep. God never wills suffering, but out of suffering, God can bring redemption and we can help. We can keep talking about these things that make us most uncomfortable, and we can take action as we are able to make our society more just. The Episcopal Church has released some resources for us, quite a few that you can find online. I was very interested to note that these include discussion questions for children, youth, and adults. I found the questions for children to be a good place for all of us to start. They call it a conversation starter for elementary school children. And it goes like this, this question. It starts by saying, a lot of people are sad because a young man died. They are sad because they say this shows that our communities aren't acting fairly and equally to all people. Jesus talked about a different kind of community shaped by love. I wonder what a community looks like where people are treated equally. I wonder what a community based on equality and full of Jesus' love would look like. And then it suggested, and maybe this is something we'd all like to do, consider letting children draw a picture, build with blocks, create a drama or a play, write a poem, create a news story about a community that was operating out of love and equality. Those questions, so basic but so important, what would a community of equality look like? How would we envision that? We envision it somewhat now as we live our lives. What do we want it to be in its fullness? Another great question for children and for all of us. We are starting a time of hope as we look toward Christmas. We all hope for Christmas presents, but what else do we hope for? A lot of people hope that one day people of every skin color will be treated with the same love. Do you hope for this? How can we pray for this? And it suggests that we can invite the children to make cards and posters of love for those in the community of Ferguson and send them to a local church there so that the messages get passed along. How can we pray for this? The grand jury decision not to indict Darren Wilson, being made when it was, has become something of a way into, whether we like it or not, a way into Advent. To show us a great darkness, which we so desire to cast away. And so we pray to cast away the work of racism in this context of Advent, knowing the beginning of our story, the birth of Jesus, where we are now and in history, and looking to the end, that end for which we were created. For end means not only the end of time, but the central purpose or goal of creation. Our prayer moves us from the beginning to the end, the prayer we started with. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness. And then it continues and goes on that when Christ shall come again in his glory, in his glorious majesty, to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. The power of Advent is found in our focus on both the beginning and the ending, though not many in our society will join us in this perspective. This is certainly not the sentiment we find in our Christmas cards, the one we will soon send and receive. We won't find scenes depicting what we heard from Mark's gospel today replacing the manger scene anytime soon. But for those of us who want to go deep into the core of our faith, we can spend some time in these weeks of Advent thinking about the end of our faith story as well as the beginning. The idea being that history is going somewhere and that God is calling us forward into the future, a future of equality, a future of which God dreams. Lawrence Stokey, in his book Calendar, Christ's Time for the Church, states that Advent is primarily about the end of time. Advent is the celebration of the promise that Christ will bring an end to all that is contrary to the ways of God. Still, it sounds a bit scary as described in Mark's gospel. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And the fig tree, learn from it, that there are signs and indications. Keep awake to what is going on around you. So much of the end of the world talk that we've heard has often been from those using it as a threat in a scary way. But do we hear the promise in it too? Do we not desire what inspired the words from Isaiah to God? Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down to bring justice, to bring peace, to bring us all together in love. Do we hear that we can be part of God's reign now when we keep awake so that when it comes in its fullness, we will already be prepared, stewards of the history that is going somewhere, forward into the future for which God longs? As we stay awake, what signs will we see that will speak to us of God's coming reign in its fullness? Will we be able to face into the darkness so as to break through the darkness to cast it away? We put on the light of Christ as our covering to give us strength as we live in this in-between time between the first advent and the second. We tell our story of the beginning and the end as we ground ourselves in both, which enables us to be about God's work in the world now, in this time and place. Amen. Amen.